to raise the basis, the foundation for the national budget to be able to be thinking. But in the short background, national record accomplishments, but representing South Africa. That's important. To be ambassadors for our country, and we've got a good story to tell. Honourable members, just before we go further, I received a letter from the Governor of the Reserve Bank, Mr. Sir Marcus, regarding a workshop for 28-29 July at the Reserve Bank in Johannesburg. In Pretoria, jointly with the Standing Committee on Finance. We dealt with this yesterday regarding our program, just formally that we are engaged as appropriations on the 29th on the appropriation bill, a briefing by the National Treasury to appropriations. So the meeting of appropriations is clashing with this workshop. And through the committee work, we will have to discuss how we're going to handle this. But it's impacting on the program of the Appropriations Committee for that week. It's not only the briefing, but also in the House. So I'm just putting this officially to you. Here's a letter from Salga. We referred yesterday when we spoke about our program that we can do things jointly. They are confirming that, the Secretariat will handle that in terms of the program. Consideration of the minutes. Honourable members, it's a one-pager minutes of our previous meeting where we elected the chairperson. Has it been circulated? You have it in front of you. The minutes of the 21st of June. It will be the practice of this committee that we deal with the minutes in the next meeting. So this meeting will be dealt with in the following meeting. Then there is no backlog. The 24th of June 2014, EC 40, election of the committee chairperson, page 1. I put you on the members, page 1. Just check that your names are spelled correctly. Names of the staff that were present. Introduction. over the page, page 2. I put the minutes as is to the committee, a proposal for adoption. Proposal, seconder. It's Judy seconds. Thank you, all the members. That deals with the minutes. That brings us to the tabling of the committee program. All the members, you received it. Again, I take you back to yesterday's meeting with appropriations, where we also dealt with the program of that committee. And as we said yesterday, that we must look at doing things jointly where it is possible regarding the interaction with the stakeholders. And as we said yesterday, we request the Secretariat just to amend the program to comply with what we requested yesterday. Are there any comments from you, Mr. Rinto and Rupa Bala?
Thanks very much. Just on the program at 16th and the 28th, when we met yesterday, you said less around and not in a way to be fit. Now, I've taken out those that will appear in front of the Shell Committee on Appropriations for the 15th. We've informed them that they should deal with both committees on the 15th. Now, I've left for the 16th the Department of Corporate Governance, Personal Affairs, and the Office of the Auditor General. For the 16th, we appear in front of those. They are not dealing with the appropriations. For the 28th, Lubavalo on the 22nd will also take the Parliamentary Budget Office, which we informed them yesterday. We've written to them, they are fine. He will also take FFC, but now I'm a national treasurer, because I was supposed to be having national treasurer on the 23rd, which I'm bringing them to Lubavalo, so that they can deal, and national treasurer will have to cover both committees also. Now I'm left with the Reserve Bank and also SARS. Those major, remember now we're only dealing with the key stakeholder of the committee. So I'm left with 2 for the 16th, with 2 for the 23rd. Thanks, Mr. Minister.
I propose all the members from the chair that Secretariat with the committee will just put this together on paper. Honourable Montara.
Thanks, Chairperson. You partly covered me. I think in our discussion yesterday, we had agreed that the two secretaries will sit with myself to finalize the program.
Yes.
But also that the program for Select Committee on Finance does not go as other select committees until the 31st. So we need to finalize and extend it and then submit it to the committee chair. It only goes until the 23rd of July. So we need to finalize, submit it, but the principle is that where they are overlapping between appropriations and finance, we will not duplicate, and also ensure that we get MECs as a matter of urgency on their availability. So between the two committees, we'll be able to work out a workable program. But I think if the committee leaves the finalization between the secretariat and myself, and we'll come back to the committee with the final program.
Thank you. Anyone on the program? Agreed? That's the process. That covers the proposed program. All the members, that will be amended. Presentation by the committee secretary and the support staff on the legacy report. All the members, you have been issued with the legacy report. Mr. Enton.
Thanks, sir. Chair, I won't take much time of the members because the building is integrated and the cement is for the previous committee. I just want to highlight a few issues. Before that, members, we are two committees with separate staff components. Now, for us, we are fortunate that we have almost all present, because members will notice that, like justice, over there is only serving finance, our communication personnel, So members from Seymour to Duzo, Esther, Justice, Nosipo, these are community resources. They are meant to assist members where possible. So members must make use of us as support staff. Let me quickly, members, go to the legacy report. This is the work of the committee in the fourth parliament. It's the president outlined purpose, mandate, the legislative process by the committee oversight, this is the undertaken international agreements, regulatory agreements, study tools and conclusion. Chair, the purpose is just to give the members an account of the committee that is this in the fourth parliament, for the new members also outline to them what was it that members were doing concerning national treasury entities and the provincial treasuries. Let me just quickly go on the mandate. The Senate Committee is established in terms of Section 4.1 of the Money Based Amendment Procedures and Related Matters Act of 2009. And now the committee, in terms of powers and function compared to it by the Constitution, we are looking at the national macroeconomic and fiscal policy, amendments to the fiscal framework, revised fiscal framework, and preliminary proposals and deals, actual revenue published by the National Treasury, and any other related matters settled in this Act, that is the money bill. Let me not go there. Now let me go to the stakeholders that we normally deal with. This is the National Treasury. I didn't put the provincial treasuries. I'm talking of the key stakeholders here. The South African Revenue Services, the Financial and Fiscal Commission, South African Reserve Bank, Financial Services Board, Financial Intelligence Center, the Development Bank of Southern Africa, Auditor General, South African Local Government Association, Land Bank and Municipalities. Why I've decided to put municipalities over there, because when you do oversight, that's where we go as a committee. During the on legislation, in the fourth parliament, we considered 29 pieces of legislation that we referred to us, that is concluded in 9 up to April of this year. There were challenges that the committee encountered, most especially on Section 76 bills. Section 76 bills get to be referred in the National Assembly, and the committee over there, they take long in terms of processing 76. And when you say done that side, then it gets to be referred to members. And now, at some stage, the civic side will somehow it needs to be cut. And remember, it's a priority for provinces. That process that was explained yesterday, they need to go through, they need to follow. So there is somehow some delays when it comes to the NE members. Sorry, committees, they said. Now the way forward, we were to say in the previous committee, how about the national ministers tabling the Section 76 in the National Council of Provinces first, then the National Council of Provinces process, and then afterwards it will go to the NA. That's to do their processes. Because these ones directly affect provinces, 76. So that's where we were getting, and also we experienced some challenges, but the way forward was, because currently the money bill is under a review, but it's been under review since. It's been with the NA for ages now. That it still needs to come in front of the committee where we still need to go to provinces. So that's why we say they need to fast track that process, the NA, so that it can also come to us in the National Council of Provinces. On over such section, because if the highlight members don't have the documents, if you have documents in front of them, we are dealing with municipalities in most cases when to go to oversight, because it is not explained. Approaches takes like the first day where they even go to site visits, call the department and do all those stuff. As we deal with specific municipalities, but during that time we felt that we take too much municipalities. Like we go there on Monday, that's a traveling day. Monday, then Tuesday we start up to Friday, where it's a boardroom kind of, where municipalities come and present in front of the committee. But the way forward, what we said is, let's rather consider taking the best in the province with the poor performing municipality. Like for example, we take one city of Cape Town, we take it over back, it's underperforming, we take over back. Then we look at those two. These ones will like mentor the underperforming municipality on issues that they can't do it at all. Because these ones are seen as the best, because they are able to, these ones can't. Then why don't we partner them? These ones will take them through where members are there. Because we'll go on project, they will go on the site, we'll even go the office. In the office where we'll sit, we'll do Esther will show Uzolan, this is how I'm doing, that's why our municipality is performing. Then this one must be like sort of an intern to this one, to learn, so that he can be able to talk to deliver when it comes to his duties. During the period, we've never conducted an oversight in the KwaZulu-Natal and also the Western Cape. Those are the two outstanding provinces when it comes to municipalities. Now is this visit to the Reserve Bank. Was 2010, we visited the Reserve Bank. It's an election kind of. It's the one that which was presented to the committee, because the governor has been saying to members, but you need to come again, because there are issues where members had questions. Now they need to just take members through. Members, we are dealing with international agreements. International agreements. That's when SARS come and present it to members with no success. Members, these used to be submitted within a short period of time, also, the international agreement. And it's a very, some stage, tricky document that it gets to be referred this week, and some treasurer will push for the committee to quickly adopt, because they are, some of them are expiring within this month. So our proposal is that the committee should be afforded every time, members to understand. Because you might be agreeing to something which you don't even understand. Where at the later stage you are saying, but the Select Committee on Finance agreed, then this thing was debated in the House and adopted. So we were saying, let national treasurer in charge, when this thing, international agreement are in front of them, even if they are not yet referred to Parliament, let them come and take members through. Because now it will at least give them, when it's formally referred, members will have enough time even just to think of it. Like if we do have a meeting today with them, it's not formally referred, this thing is referred in December. The end of the first week of December, at least members will be aware that we've dealt with it in July. So that's our report. Section others, intervention. The committee 2011 session, we executive put the five departments in Limpopo as the administration. It was the first of a kind for Parliament to deal with five departments at one go, because there was an intervention in the Eastern Cape, but it was only the Department of Education. So at least the scope wasn't that much. But there were challenges, like when we went there as a committee, we went there with other committees, education, health, public works, roads and transport is also under public works, and it's those. So over there, what we've discovered, there were no clear indications who's doing what. Because now the national department took over. But remember, you've got the MEC, you've got the AOD of the department, now this person doesn't know whether am I still involved or not. And there were no time frames when are they to finish their job. There were no action plans, the strategies were not there. And also when it comes to the side of parliament, there were no clear guidelines, legislation that guides the committee. What is exactly the committee must do? Now, during that process, DBS, Department of Construction Administration, also came in when we were in Limbombo, where they promised, together with the National Department of Corporate Governance and Transitional Affairs, they were busy with a legislation that would regulate the intervention. But up to now, we haven't seen it. So those are the challenges. If any of the provinces now also go on the same route, the committee will be part of it, the committee will lead, meaning it will be the same process. Because somehow they are fight. Yes, let me leave it. The statutory appointments, we were fortunate because of the money bill that we had to appoint for the very first time a director of the Parliamentary Budget Office. In the month of May 2018, that is last year, the committee joined with the Select and Standing Committee on Finance and the Select Committee on Appropriations. It recommended that Professor I.M. Jahed be appointed as director of Parliamentary Budget Office. We came with our reports, the committee which are adopted. Those reports were also adopted by the houses, that Professor Jahed be appointed as the director of the Parliamentary Budget for a period of 5 years. What it means for the committee is that in 2018, we need to start the process again. Whether we reappoint him or we look for another candidate. So that's the only statutory appointment that the committee deals with, jointly with the four other finance committee. Since I joined Parliament in the third Parliament, the committee has never taken any. I'm not saying, because we tried to in the last Parliament, unfortunately we were turned down. However, I need to alert members on one thing. When we are to conduct study tour, for example, if our budget, we are provided with a million as a committee budget, members must be aware that half is coming from the committee budget. So 500,000 will be taken out of. Remember, the committee has got activities to run. So half a million will be taken out of the committee budget. The other will come from the consolidated fund, from the committee section side. So the section will fund half, the committee will have to fund the other half. In conclusion, members, the committee has an important fiscal oversight role in these three spheres of governance, especially at local and provincial spheres. That's where we are focusing. For us, it's the provincial treasuries, since the Limpopo issue. That's when we decided to adopt provincial treasurer so that they can come and report in front of the committee. Time frames have been a challenge in committee activities. There are times when the parliamentary framework indicates that you've been given a week to do an oversight. But you'll find later on that week has to be taken away. You will deal with your logistic arrangement, will inform the province municipalities that we are on our way on this month. Later, those that deal with the framework of parliament decide that let's schedule plenaries, meaning members cannot go anywhere. So there are those kind of issues. Legislative meetings where committee constructs might be. It is vital as such all members of the committee must make these meetings a priority. Because when we deal with those, we need members, all members of the committee to be present. Because now we are voting here as a proposition in this committee. Because we are not considering as the other house where we take as a party. Here because members are sent here by provinces. The last bullet, members, is regarding effort for members to attend meetings. If possible, an apology will be sent before the start of the meeting. For us, it becomes very difficult. Like now, the meeting started at 10 o'clock, or here, 9:30. Those that are assisting members, they've got this tendency in the last parliament of sending an apology during the sitting of the committee. Like now, on my email, I might get an apology. Already, as a committee, we've dealt with the issue. So, there's no way that I can squeeze in an apology of a member which was not formally tabled in the committee meeting. We had instances where, when we deal with meetings, the member who said, I was not absent. Well, if you look there, it's present, apologies, absent. And members don't like the absent part. The absent part is for those that didn't tender any apologies to us. And during our stretch plans, when that time arrives, we invite the assistant for members. Those that are assisting members to be part of us so that we can take them through. Because there comes a time when members, political parties, request from members attendance. There are assessments that are happening. That's when members get to fight with us. To say, but why do I have so many absences? I've been sending apologies. Those apologies don't reach us. For example, this one that I said, even apology is on my PC now in a mini meeting. That is taken as an absence. So there are those kind of issues that members need to understand. It becomes difficult for us because a member will say, personally, I've rendered an apology. Because your executive secretary or your administrative secretary will say, Jefferson, a member has given Solani an apology. And yes, it's true because that has been emailed to me, that is brain was emailed. It was emailed during the time of the meeting. So we need members to work together on that one so that we just cut on these minor issues. Members' mind is done. Let me give it to Duzo and I'll give it to Esther. Question.
Although members, can we follow the approach that we take all the presentations and then questions, or do you want to engage with these presentations separately? Although, all right, let's go down the line. Although von Brandes.
Just I spoke about that yesterday also, but this suggestion that you want to send drafts before the time, etc., to provinces. it won't help their process. Because they can't work on a draft order because it's on a version. They must work on a specific word version which were finalized at the national or at the Council of Provinces. They can't work on another version because they have to take that for public hearings. And the committee has to report on that specific version. Otherwise, if they give you a negotiating mandate and it's an old version or they got a newer version and they didn't work on a new version, it won't help them. And they haven't got time going through drafts while you're busy doing the drafts here. They've got a hell of a workload in the provinces. So that is, I heard this speech from last week, the whole week I heard this, and it's not going to work on the ground. It will be interesting for them to take notice of such type of legislation coming through 76 bills. But I can't specifically start working as a committee on that. I haven't got the time or the program to do that. Second thing is an international tour. When I was in Western Cape, I saw what worked is that we give them 10% now or into the mandate. They start investigating which country we must visit. And they must start doing it now, today, from today. They must get the researchers going on and to identify because they have to come with suggestions to the committee and the committee has to decide on a specific tour. But they have to start doing it from today on. They have to appoint researchers to start looking at now. Because what are you going to do overseas if you haven't got a specific aim and a proper place to go and visit? And the third thing I just want to also say that is the truth. And that is to the committee coordinators or someone thinks that members of parliament must do 10 places per day. That's impossible. Because at every stage, you know, as soon as you hook up and you get a few questions, you're late for your next meeting. Then the people waiting for you, they say, yeah, it's a parliament, look here, half an hour, 2 hours late again. That's not because of the members of parliament not keeping to schedule. It's the places which are visitors are keeping them back from going on to the next place. So that's why I want to support you. Less places to visit.
Mm.
It's not necessary to visit 10, 20 places a day. 1, 2, 3, that's enough, you know. And then it's better planning and you're not never late for your next meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Muna. I was hit when he touched on international agreements. And maybe as a newcomer, I would like you to maybe highlight a bit on maybe an example of one international agreement. What I have in mind is that one of the IMF and the World Bank, if I may, you know, get it correctly. I just want to give me just examples of other international agreements for knowledge. And number two, I just want to know as a select committee if we can be able to propose a bill, because we have seen it many a times where you find that municipalities and maybe some other departments, they seem to be spending less, if not maybe rolling over the budgets. And you know, as a politician, this is quite well sound. Where year in and year out we talk the same language. Nothing is happening to those who do not qualify or does you know, books. So I don't know if maybe this might have been proposed before we arrived here. Or maybe this could be a repetition. If not, can we be allowed as a select committee on finance to get those who do not spend public coffers correctly to get punished or maybe dismissed from their positions? Because we cannot keep on having the very same people who do not, you know, who actually misrepresent the community quite well. That's what I have. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm jotting down the questions. Alder Motara, you hand up. Alder Mohai.
Thanks, Chairperson. And for the presentation by Zorani, I think we need to find a way of dealing with the Section 76 legislation. allow for 10 years engagement to strike a balance? How do you allow for 10 years engagement as opposed to dealing with the legislation when we no longer have time? We've got rubber stamp on the legislation. I think we need to find that balance, delicate balance. How do we really flow with the discussions and the debates on the relevance of this legislation that we deal with? So I hear what the point that has been raised against, but we really need to find that balance so that we adequately respond to the challenges, the gaps on the legislation, because we don't deal with it for its own sake. We have to attend to those gaps that arise. The other issue that were raised, we need to agree with them. I mean, to visit the Reserve Bank is a good thing for finance sector to visit the Reserve Bank. Because it's not just visit for its own sake, it's also visit for presentations and all of those things and understanding the operations. So I think that one chair would agree that maybe something that can be undertaken sooner so that we, at the beginning of a term, is always important.
Yes.
And on the issue of study tours, we may have to choose. I'm much more interested in the developing countries that we measure their success against us. Developing countries are important, precisely because we do have agreements with BRICS countries and so on. And not so long ago, the monitoring and evaluation was saying that South Africa will use the big fast something linked to Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that in finance, always, most of the time, we always talk about Australia, we talk about other countries, best practice or but we have to look into these developing countries. How do we, because how really do we get some kind of an interest to look into certain developments in those areas? But the last one, I think, Chair, if we can look into areas of basic things that we need to do as we start with our chair. Even if you could, it can amount to some kind of training for all of us, just to capacitate. In our previous workshop, certain things were raised to say that training can be customized for specific committees.
Mm-hmm.
So finance, there's a lot of jargon, other things that we deal with, there's a lot of discipline that is required in terms of dealing with a finance matter, some kind of discipline that is required. So we need to really welcome the availability of the kind of training, because we can as well draw in National Treasury also to can provide those basic things that we need to. Our some sort of intense induction for finance members,
yes,
all of us. So we really need to appreciate that. That will be helpful as we move forward. Thanks.
Thank you for the valuable proposals.
No, thanks, Chair. Maybe I must also welcome the presentation. However, most of the things that I wanted to raise have been covered by Honorable Mohan, because in connection with the international agreement, there was a few as to what is included in this agreement and what would be our role as a Senate committee in terms of ensuring that these agreements are sustained, updated, and well followed. It would also go to my next point. This has 100 interventions. We also want to know what is the role of this committee in terms of ensuring, like you have indicated, the challenges that we faced and that had to be overcome. How will the committee assist? Because it is not always good that we say these are the challenges and we don't know how to overcome them. Because I think it is our role now in the Fifth Parliament to make sure that we overcome all the obstacles that to a experience. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. On the issue of international agreements, I refer you to the ATC of Monday, the 7th of July, page 158. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 pages, 37 agreements, protocols, etc., tabled by the Minister of Finance. That gives you an idea what this agreement is about. Now, this has only been tabled, it hasn't been referred yet, because it will be referred to the NA's Committee on Finance, and after that will come to the NCOP. So we are still waiting for that. So this will give you some background. This also sets the agenda for oversight, but we never went that far because of our workload. Referring to legislation, specific in appropriations. Most of the 76 bills goes through the Appropriations Committee. In the 5 years, in the fourth parliament, 76 legislations for the Select Committee on Finance, it was once. It was the beginning of the year, the Financial Management of Parliament Act, the bill that we had to deal with. So most of it, 99% is appropriations. On the 76 bills and the process, as we heard with the initial induction, when the Honourable Naledi Pandor spoke at the chairperson of the NCOP, Honourable Modise, we will have to engage with the leadership regarding those trespasses. It will go to a higher level at that level. Honourable members, training, yes, 110% correct. When we engage with National Treasury in the next 14 days, they can, and we can sensitize them to highlight the training possibilities. They've got a training school at National Treasury. The Reserve Bank has a training school at the bank in Pretoria. That black building that's standing there towering into the sky, that's the whole Reserve Bank of South Africa. We also went through a training session on the members given to us by the Gordon Institute for Business. Dr. Rulof Glitter was one of the facilitators and presenters. Economists in South Africa addressed us and took us through presentations and actually schooled us. So we can request that again. But I would say that the management committee, the two chairs with the whip, and a member from the opposition that we sit on this, we usually do this training together jointly with the NA's Committee on Finance because we are facing the same issues, that it's a bigger collective. It makes sense. The issue of international trips, yes, I was very frustrated because we made submissions and we couldn't go because of the legislation that we had to deal with. Honourable members, the Select Committee on Appropriations and Finances, the two busiest committees in Parliament. You can go and check the ATC, how many meetings are being held in the year January to December. It's the two busiest committees. So we will have to, and I support it, yes. 100% that we do a study tour. The Development Bank of South Africa is engaged in programs in African states to fund certain programs. They were in Tanzania, they were in Angola, Mozambique, in the Congo. But no one went there to check, but is this money spent correctly? We approve it on that side, but what's happening on the other side? We didn't go there. So that's a very good proposal of our chairperson, why, regarding Africa, yes. And what we can share, best practices. One of the most upcoming countries in Africa is Angola. what's happening there. You don't read a lot about them, but something's happening there. Because the private sector is going into Angola at a speed. Yes. How is it possible that African countries north of South Africa has a growth of 7%? We must engage in that. What do they do? We read it here in the papers. The whole issue of the oversight, I requested that the House Chairperson, I requested the leadership of the members that on a quarterly basis, the committees are given a week to go and do their committee oversight. It was quite a battle in the first parliament to get this practically going. We sometimes had to use constituency periods to do oversight. And then we were actually supposed to be in your constituency. Also referring to the intervention in Limpopo, most of the time we had to leave during constituency period to go there and to monitor the intervention in terms of section 102C of the Constitution. And as I said in the induction when the Honourable Deputy Minister addressed us from COCTA, Honourable Andries Nel, regarding this intervention, the NCOP, through the Committee on Finance and the relevant committees, gave direction for this intervention. Because section 103 states there must be regulations to regulate the process of the intervention. It doesn't exist. The department came up with proposals. We are waiting for it because it will go to the select committee on public service and administration. But we have to sit jointly because we dealt with the intervention. That will have to be the process. The question, what now about the intervention? I spoke to the secretary of the NCOP, Advocate Mandela, that they look at the parliamentary process. What has to happen is this intervention referral will have to be revised, to be referred again, either to finance or the Select Committee on Appropriations. But there must be a new referral because it's a first parliament. It's a new administration. So that is that process. Regarding proposals from the Select Committee for Finance, but I want to add, the Select Committee for Appropriations. In the budget review, honorable members, and in the Division of Revenue, you'll find the Minister's reply to what we said in our committee reports, recommendations, etc., on the budget, on the Division of Revenue, etc., on the fiscal framework. The Minister replies regularly, and I want to compliment the previous minister and the then deputy, who is now the Minister of Finance, for doing that, because it's tabled in Parliament. You'll get the official reply. Let me see what I've got. The review of the Moneyboss Act. Yes, the four chairpersons of finance, the two on finance, the two on appropriations, with the two House chairpersons, have to sit regarding this review again. This meeting is very crucial to speed up the review of the Moneyboss Act. So that is on our table. Review the approach to oversight over municipalities. Yes, I think we can do things a bit differently there. What we dealt, how we did it, we called municipalities for 4 days. And then all the stakeholders were sitting in that meeting. Energy, water affairs, Eskom, you name it, COCTA, provincial national treasury, they were all there. It looked like a mass meeting. Issues that was raised there, that could be addressed there, be addressed there, on the spot. Let's say, Kamiskar municipality, the MM speaks to the representative of Eskom regarding electricity issues. They could deal with it. Some of the issues took longer. That was supporting the whole process of intergovernmental relations. I think there we went forward. But how we deal with these municipalities when we were there for 4 or 5 days, it was a lot. We took 14. on a visit like that, and I think we sometimes rush through it too quickly, that we again, and that's where you are important over there, members, to come up with your ideas about the approach to deal with these municipalities. Because the issues that are raised are not new. The PFMA and the MFMA is very, very clear. You must be competent to do your work. Finish and clock. The role of a mayor is set out in the MFMA, where the MM and CFO give direction on financial management in the municipality. It's legislation. So if they don't comply, they're in trouble. That's why there's a cleaning up process in Limpopo, in local government. And it's going to be province by province. So that regarding the review on our approach to engage with municipalities, I think I've covered most of it. Yes, DBSA, I've done that. Any other follow-ups? Can you go to the next presentation? Simon? All yours. All the members, is it that document? Am I correct, Simon?
Yes, Chairperson.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
The other lady, Sundin, was not here.
She's studying. She's done studying.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chair, and the words of experience that you have shared with the committee, and it also makes my presentation also to be much easier, because some of the issues that are in my presentation have also been alluded to by the Chairperson. And on top of that, before I just get through my presentation, the basis for my presentation or the detailed information of this presentation is contained in an orientation paper that was circulated to the members, and as such, when I make the presentation, it will be more of a summary of the document that was circulated to the members. And also, I think most of the members that I hear were also part of the presentation that was done by Honorable Zabir in the NCOP orientation workshop, and as such, most of the issues, I would not repeat what Honorable Zabir explained on that meeting. I'll just try to zoom into specific issues for the meeting. In terms of my presentation outline, the introduction, the purpose of the presentation, the mandate of the committee in terms of intergovernmental fiscal relations, the role of provinces, which are at the center of the NCOP and the committee, and the role of local government, as Honorable Member and the other speaker has highlighted some of this, of the issues that relate to the spheres of government. And then we'll also look at the role of provinces and their important role in terms of accelerating service delivery goals and division of revenue. And then we'll zoom into activities of the committee that will also assist in terms as the committee heads to its strategic plan, which will be led by the content advisor of the committee. And then I'll conclude my presentation. Just to start with my presentation, I was preparing this presentation and reflecting on the number of information that has been presented to the members, it then came to my mind one of the quotes from the global icon, Dr. Nelson Mandela, when he said, "It always seems impossible until it's done. The lot of work and the lot of information that has been presented to the members might seem to be very complex and impossible to do, but with the moment you get to the process, it is everything will be possible." I would not therefore dwell much on the mandate of the committee, because the committee secretary alluded to some of these functions, and also the previous presentation has also touched much on this. But safe to say, in terms of the mandate of the committee, it just revolves around macroeconomic issues and fiscal policy, and it will mainly deal with the fiscal framework, revised fiscal framework, and revenue proposals that will be tabled before the House. The purpose of this presentation, honorable members, it is just to familiarize members with its mandate and also to highlight key activities of the committee that will, annual activities that the committee will be involved in when during the fifth parliament, and also to reflect on some of the research services that are available to the committee from my section. In terms of the key mandate of the committee in relation to intergovernmental fiscal relations, as I alluded earlier on, the NCOP has an interest of provinces at heart and also the interest of municipalities. And the specific mandate of this committee revolves around intergovernmental fiscal relations, which then to ensure that there is fiscal sustainability at both local municipalities, both at provincial and local municipalities. And there will also be key stakeholders that will be important in executing this task, which will include stakeholders like the fiscal and financial, financial and fiscal commission, the AG, which is Auditor General of South Africa, and SALGA. There are also other stakeholders, of course, but I'm just highlighting these key main stakeholders. One thing that is important also, members, that should be also at the center of your heart as you execute your duties as a Select Committee on Finance, is the vital role of provinces and local government in the economy. Time and again, we speak of economic growth and so on and so on, but the role of select committees, it is to ensure that the three spheres of government do function and they perform according to their mandate. Just to highlight the few, especially in terms of education and health, the bulk of our budget that we allocate to provinces goes to these two departments. And as such, when committees play their oversight role, it would be much important to ensure that there is value for money in every activity that is done through public funds. Human settlement, there was a report that members would recall that was tabled by the FFC that speaks to infrastructure requirement from human settlement department, and they also reflected on the model in terms of the funding requirement of human settlement. And in terms of municipalities, they have a mandate that revolves around water, electricity, sanitation, solid waste removal. What is much important is for you to execute any economic activity, all these things must be in place. A business cannot run if there is no electricity. We need water, we need all this. So as such, this committee has a critical role in terms of playing its oversight over that. And there are also other concurrent functions that the municipalities, or different spheres of government has to perform. In terms of service delivery goals, provincial and local governments must implement measures to improve service delivery capacity, which has been one of the observations of the committee in its fourth parliament. In terms of its oversight role, that has been identified as one of the obstacles to accelerate service delivery. So as such, it remains a role of these two spheres to ensure that they build service delivery. And the role of this committee will then to monitor whether that has been done or not and make necessary recommendations where possible. And also to ensure that public spending that has not yet reached all South Africans is eventually being realized in terms of benefiting from the fiscus. And another issue that is also important, it is to identify and address areas where poor maintenance has resulted to either loss of service and deterioration in the quality of service rendered. This slide mainly just reflects on the allocations in terms of the division of revenue bill, and it will be much important, especially for the Select Committee on Appropriations. So as such, I would not explain much on it, but safe to say, in terms of when you look at the growth of allocations, members have raised quite a number of issues relating to the funding of local municipalities. There is something that is happening in terms of accelerating growth in allocations that are directed to local municipalities. When you look at the growth over, comparative to the two financial years, which is 2013-2014 and 2014-2015. But members, what is important, maybe in terms of the share of revenue, in terms of the stretch fees, this it does not take into account conditional grants that are still to be transferred to provinces and municipalities. So it's when you consider that, you consider the conditional grants and other transfers that are still to be made, and then the share of revenue from national government will then reduce from the 64% that is reflected on the slide. Going into the activities of the committee, in the first term, there will be a State of the Nation address. The minister will table the national budget, and Honorable Jabir in his presentation alluded to some of the important documents that the committee has to be aware of in dealing with the budget that is tabled by the minister. Just to highlight, a few will be, which will be at the main of the Select Committee on Finance, will be the budget review that contains the fiscal framework of the country. And during the very same period, there will be tabling of strategic plan and APPs by different departments. The committee will conduct public hearings on fiscal framework, and then the report will then be produced, which will be tabled at the House, and then members might decide whether to debate or make a statement on the fiscal framework. And there will also be a report. Some of these are just continuous activities. You'll find them appearing in all terms of the of the program of the committee. But suffice to say also that the expenditure report will, of Section 71 will be available on that chain. What is then to, from the research point of view, we then put together all these different documents for the members, to ensure that we come up with a consolidated analysis that will make sense, connect all the dots for the members, and table an analysis that will assist members maybe when they go for this debate and all other oversight activities and their role. Looking at the next slide, it still highlights the support that we give to the committee, which includes the fiscal framework analysis, as I have alluded to, the minister will table the fiscal framework in the House, and then we provide analysis of the fiscal framework to the members before they engage with stakeholders, so that they raise some of the issues that are related to the fiscal framework. We also provide budget analysis, strategic plan analysis, and also the local government revenue and expenditure report analysis. On the second term, in the fourth parliament, the Select Committee in its strategic plan adopted a strategy to continuously engage with provincial treasuries to ensure fiscal sustainability, and also to identify a possible challenges that might result to Limpopo intervention. So the committee needs to be aware on a quarterly basis what exactly is happening on provinces. And there will possibly be oversight week, which will of course depends on the political decision. Protocol and agreements, the chairperson has reflected quite a number of these agreements and protocols that are to be referred to the committee. And other bills, finance bills, that are also, when you look at the ATC, they are still at ATC. There are also quite a number of amendments to Long-Term Insurance Act and other, finance-related legislation, which are referred to the Standing Committee on Finance at this time, and it will soon be referred after that process to our committee to deal with. And from the research point of view, what we'll then do when a committee engages with provincial treasuries, we provide an analysis of expenditure of different provinces and give a committee a perspective and issues that we feel that it is of importance to the committee to engage with treasury and get some answers. And we'll also, in terms of the oversight, prior to the oversight visit, we do analysis, research work, and provide an analytical paper to the committee. And then after that, we also do an analysis of the post-oversight, which is a paper that assists members, especially when they have media briefings and so on. Those issues that are reflected there are important for the members to engage with its oversight activities, and also provide agreement analysis and finance-related bills analysis. What is important for the third term is the committee when the minister tables a budget, there will be issues that relate to tax proposals, and when the committee passes a fiscal framework, it does not necessarily include the bills that talk to the church proposals that are tabled by the minister at that time. And during the third term, under normal business activity of parliament, that's when we then start to deal with bills that speak to all amendments that were proposed by the minister during the budget period. And we'll also provide analysis of the fourth quarter, and the committee will obviously identify certain municipalities, because at a certain point we can't really analyze the whole 270 something municipalities within a short space of time. But committee members might be interested in certain municipalities, and they'll say, can you analyze this municipality and this, and then we'll make that information available. I've also touched on this. In the fourth term, what is important, honorable members, it is a major activity also of the committee. In terms of the tabling of annual report, that gets to be referred. I remember a year before last, the committee to consider almost more than 10 annual reports that were referred to it, and within a very short space of time, it then becomes a bit tricky to deal with all of the, to do justice in the process. However, the committee has to deal with that. Another thing that is of importance in the fourth term, it is the medium-term budget policy statement that Honorable Jadir has reflected on and has talked to, so I won't get much into it. It is mainly a provision of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure Related Matters Act, and dealing also with budget adjustment. And also, I've decided to put the tabling of the budget review and recommendation report at the end, because that is mainly an issue of the National Assembly. But it is important for enrichment or for the members of the NCOP to look through at those reports, because they provide a holistic analysis of the performance of the department or of different departments, and also get a sense in terms of the recommendations that are made. In terms of the research support that we give, we then collect all the important information or documents that speaks to either amendments to the budget, assessment that has been made, and annual reports that have been tabled before Parliament, and then give members an analysis of all those documents and make sense out of them. I've talked much on this, so let me move to the next slide. This one, there will be at a certain point a member might possibly have to debate in the House. So what we do from the research point of view, it is to give background information, and also provide public finance or budget-related information that might relate to provincial government, municipal government, fiscal framework, public debt, any statistical analysis that the committee and that honorable members might require from the research point of view will make that available, including also economic information like your GDP statistics and unemployment and all other related information. Chairperson, to conclude my presentation, budget is an ongoing process. I don't know why the slides keep on jumping like this, Zolan. What is important, honorable members, is to say budget is an ongoing process, and it is important to enhance fiscal oversight during this parliament. Furthermore, the committee has also an important role in terms of in the budget cycle and its importance in terms of the provisions of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act. Continuous engagement with stakeholders will strengthen the committee and its oversight role. And the research unit remains committed to provide research support to committee within reasonable time frames. As I close my presentation, honorable members, I also wish to quote the quotes from a global icon again, Thabo Nelson Mandela, when he said, "When a man has done what he considers to be his duty to his people and his country, he can rest in peace." I thank you, Siabo.
Thank you, Simo, obtained his master's degree in the first quarter of the year. Yeah, and he's working on his PhD. Everyone is an expert in his or her specific field, also in appropriations. So we are very fortunate to have these people around us. All the members' questions? Let's go down the... Let's start from that side to that side again. All of them are... Mr. Shupi? Yeah, with a very nice pink tie on.
I will do that, sir. Chair, I'm looking at the presentation and maybe the first thing that I must acknowledge is to welcome the presentation. But looking at the presentation and the categorization into quarters, one thing that comes to my mind as a layman is that a strategic plan is there for 5 years.
Mm.
And above the strategic plans, you will then have your APPs.
Mm.
And activities will then roll out from your APPs.
Mm.
Now, I see that you have already had activities for the whole year, and I assume they should be from the strategic plan and the APP, and it has been repeatedly said, we will go into that session. I know that the strategic plan is entire. It's a high-level document, which would exclude activities, but necessarily the activities would be from those key documents.
Mm.
Thank you.
Why? Otara? No.
Okay.
Fine. Travert? Maglani? Yes?
I just want to highlight something. Yesterday it was tabled there at the previous meeting. And that was the chairs. We invited you to the closed session by you. And then you come here, and I only had to walk a block away. But some of the chairs come from far away, but they're not allowed to sit in the afternoon. It's not part and parcel of the invitation. It's to go to, sort of, during the tabling of the national budget, to go and sit in the gallery. So maybe that is, yesterday it was put on the table, but I think that's something that just have to fix. And if you send your invites for chairperson, that it includes them sitting in the afternoon, getting to the, listening to the, that was one thing. I had to go through a hell of a trouble 1 year to, and I just, and at the, my 5 year term, I only had the chance to listen once. to the minister, tabling his budget.
No problem. We can do that. That's a phone call. That's all. So it's a standing rule that says we are supposed to be in the gallery to listen to the minister. Now, speak to us as chairperson. I don't know what route to have taken, but in my case, my province, my chairperson, I'm Miguel Parker, former chairperson, Dave Malusi. They were there for 5 years to set in. Yes, you know?
Thank you very much, Chair. Just one question that was posed relating to the activities that I've already highlighted. What I have then done is to highlight activities in terms of legislation provision, and there will be other activities which will be sort of an input to the strategic plan that the committee still has to engage into it. So in terms of activities that are here, just only legislative provisions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shimo. Honourable members, also coming out of the presentation, a very important exercise is our engagement with the 9 provincial treasuries on their fiscal position. Because when this intervention of Section 101B was invoked in Limpopo, people were asking us in Parliament, now what did you do? Didn't you see this thing coming? Treasury, what did you do? That's why we call the Treasury in on a quarterly basis to monitor the fiscal situation, that we don't land up with an important issue again, because it's not good for South Africa. The world is watching us. Then to the staff, I asked it in the induction as well, that the latest reports from the Auditor General, what is available on the national, provincial departments and local government municipalities be circulated to members, forming part of the background documentation to prepare them for the rest of the year's work. Honourable members, Section 154 of the Constitution refers to the role of national, provincial departments to assist municipalities. That is the first section we go to when we do oversight of municipalities, not 139. We go to 154. They must tell us what did they do. And the issue is, the challenge in provinces, in some of our members, is capacity in the provincial departments. Naming proper, in the certain circumstances, treasury, but the Minister of Business, the Minister of Finance, when we dealt with this. The whole program of quarterly reports is crucial. Again, what did Parliament do? This is what Parliament must do to engage on the quarterly reports. In terms of your APP and your budget, not only the budget, what did you produce? What did you deliver? Finish and flat. Then we go out on our oversight. Yes, we're going to engage with the FSC. You must ask the acting chairperson of the FSC, Solani, to spend time on the fiscal framework of local government. They've got, they did research. That they include that in their presentation when we meet with them in the next 14 days. Then honourable members, on tax, our issue on tax, for page 51, in the budget review at the top, it's printed in light gray. There you'll see what's happening in the field of taxation regarding Judge Davis' committee. There's not enough in Cape Town. We waiting for Pretoria to send us more. I'll see where I can get, I don't know where, but we'll just try and retrieve some. A lot of these books were thrown away before we left here after elections. It was actually, I wanted to cry just to look at what are they throwing away. But here you see it on page 51 regarding tax. The research unit also comes up in the papers with questions to give us some direction to move into. But that, honourable members, is only to give you an appetite. You mustn't just stick to that questions. You must go a step further. Regarding the strategy, very important question. The NCUP as NCUP is going to a strat plan workshop. I don't know when. The WIPRI will decide on that with the leadership. And then select committees will fall in after that to go on their strat plan, because we must fit in into the bigger strat plan. Yes, the international agreements, example. We've got an international agreement with Mozambique regarding customs, collecting of tax. And they established a one-stop shop at the border post. Now, we haven't seen this. We just saw it on paper. But that's an activity to go there and have an oversight of what happened. We approved this agreement, but what's actually happening at Komati Port? And it's not only there, it's also Swaziland. And all those people are coming into Mpumalanga. So, just to give you a better explanation regarding the international agreement. Other members, it's time for tea if you want to take tea now. Or we can go to the next presentation if you want to have a comfort break. Just give me some direction. It's up to you. You want to go for tea? All right, let's break for 10 minutes. Thank you.
We are all human.
We're not machines. We are human.
Thank you.